We're going to go ahead and get started. I am actually looking forward to the new year for a couple of reasons. One, because of some of the things that I have planned coming up this year. I'm really looking forward to different things, you know, that my wife and I have discussed that we're going to do. I'm looking forward to different things that the kids have planned. And it's interesting because whenever we think of, and Francois said it perfectly, a lot of times when we think of New Year's, we think of coming up with new, you know, resolutions. And some people, a lot of you, I've talked to you about this, and you just like, I don't even do that. Like, I can't even get into the whole resolution thing. Like, if I'm going to change and do something, I'm just going to have to do it when it's time. I'm not going to wait until, you know, the new year. Some of us were not built like that. Some of us, we have to get geared up for it. But regardless of what you decide to do, or if you decide to come up with any new plans or start anything anew, what I want us to do is to consider not just what we're going to do in 2018, but who we're going to be in 2018. And I say that from the standpoint of, I was talking to someone about, someone asked me, this was yesterday, and then prior to that, someone asked me, they said, well, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm saved, and I want to make sure that my son and grandson and, you know, daughter-in-law and that kind of thing, they were just saying, they want to make sure they're saved. And see, the reason why that was so revealing and so important is because often we think of things very black and white. We think of things very in a contrast almost, where it's like, are you lost or are you saved? And in reality, for many of us who've accepted Christ, and maybe it's been a while, the question isn't whether or not you believe. The question is not whether or not you love God. The question is, are you healthy? Now, and I was talking to Harold about this, I think it was last week, the week before, but so often we think of things from the standpoint of being in compliance almost. It's almost like making sure, like, you ever done this where you go get your tags for your car and you're thinking, I don't even care if the light works. I just need it to work when I go through the inspection station, you know. I'm not even concerned as to whether or not, like, you know, the power steering can go out. I just need to give these people this $50 to make sure my car is registered. So as long as it doesn't squeak, fall apart, backfire, cut off. I remember one of this Mercedes back here that I've been working on. I remember the window wasn't going down. And he said, we can't pass you until you get the window fixed. And I pull off and I hit the button. I'm just, you know, feeling defeated and dejected. I'm like, let me hit the button. And then it went down. I was like, oh my goodness, let me turn right back around, right? And I went through. And he was like, okay, we'll pass you. Now, the window hasn't gone down again since, right? It took forever to get it up. But too often when it comes to spiritual matters, we look at our life and our relationship with God. We look at, well, what does the Bible say? Am I in compliance with the word? Am I in compliance with God? Instead of thinking, but am I healthy? Am I actually, like, you know, the car, it's like, the reason why you go through the inspection is to make sure that cars like that don't get out on the road, right? That is the whole purpose of the inspection. It's not so that they can just take your money and just so that you can pass the inspection, but it's done to prevent unhealthy, unmanageable cars, dangerous vehicles to be out there. That's why they make you go and then jam on your brakes, so that they can make sure that when you get to a stop sign or if somebody jumps out in front of you, you can actually stop the car. It's not just for compliance purposes. And so I want to look at this because as we move into 2018, what I want us to consider is, how do we become more healthy? Now, most times when people think of health, they think of their bodies. You know, they think of, you know, people do this thing where they say, I'm going to lose some weight, or this new year coming up, I'm resolved, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to exercise, and, you know, they'll go get a gym membership. They do these things, right? We've done this before. And yet, sometimes you get, you don't even get, and I used to be a personal trainer. Like, you would have people to come in, gung-ho, January. And you think, man, they're going to be gone by June, July. You won't see them again. No, actually, it's got to the point now, it's like, come February, March. They just like said, okay, you know what? It was a good idea at the time, but I kind of like ice cream and sitting around and not exercising, right? And so I want us to think about spiritually, how do we view ourselves? Do we view ourselves as being healthy? The title of the sermon, I'm going to give it a title, is New Year, New Me, with a question mark at the end. A new year and a new me. Because I want us to think about what is this year not only going to have in store for us and bring to us, but how are we not just going to be different? How are we going to be healthier spiritually? How are we going to be have a healthier relationship with God in 2018? Now, just for the sake of reference, because we're going to spend the next couple months talking about being healthy and what the Bible says, what Jesus asked us to do so that we can be healthy. And so I want to kind of give a walking definition. I pulled this from Webster's Dictionary. Healthy is defined as being free from disease or pain, enjoying health and vigor of the body or mind or spirit. It gives an example. Well, healthy children tips for staying healthy. Okay? Showing physical, mental, or emotional well-being, evincing health, a healthy complexion. He has a healthy appetite. You know, anybody who has kids or, you know, anybody who, you know, has to manage someone's diet, you understand the difference between a healthy diet and an unhealthy diet. When you see somebody who's not eating, when you see somebody who their skin doesn't look good, see, they don't have to tell you anything. You can tell by looking at them. You can see in their actions and their behavior whether or not they're healthy. Beneficial to one's physical, mental, or emotional state, conducive to health, healthy foods, a healthy lifestyle. This was a quote from someone. It said, walk 3 miles every day, a beastly bore, but healthy. Prosperous, if you're talking about being financially healthy. If you're talking about being financially viable, if you want to grow in your investments, if you want to grow in your bank account, if you want to clear debt. Prosperous, flourishing, a healthy economy, not small or feeble, weak, considerable, a healthy sum of money. These are just ideas. These are just definitions and synonyms that talk to get us in the mindset of thinking about what is healthy. Because a lot of times when we think of how can we have a closer relationship with God, how can we better understand what faith is, what trusting God is, if we only look at it in these terms of black and white, like, well, yeah, I'm in compliance. I came to church and I read my Bible and I prayed, and we can often forget what it means to be healthy in the ways. And I want to look at some examples of this. Now, those of you all who aren't familiar, you're going to be seeing this soon if you don't know what this is. Okay. This is called Planet Fitness. The old Big Lots up here, they're getting ready to open up. Okay. And they're right on time because everybody's got these New Year's resolutions. Planet Fitness, I'm very familiar with. They used to have one where I used to live. It's called Home of the Judgment-Free Zone. Now, Planet Fitness is not only very affordable in that there's, you know, it's like $1 down and then $10 a month, and it's open 24 hours. You can come anytime you feel like it. It's open 24 hours. But one of the pulls and the attractions of Planet Fitness is all these amenities, right? You can do the massage, the water massage. I'm not trying to sell this to anybody because I'm personally not a fan of Planet Fitness, but it's interesting because one of the things that I remember, this is in Kentucky, the Planet Fitness in Kentucky, they said, come on Tuesday and come on Friday. And after your workout, they had donuts. That was on Tuesday, right? No, I'm serious, so serious. This actually happened. I didn't believe it either. I kind of laughed like that. And I was like, wait a minute, are you serious? And then on Friday, they had a pizza party. So you work out, and then you could come and have as many slices as you want. Just sit in the lounge area in the chair. So, and I remember thinking to myself, again, this went against everything in me because I thought, you're supposed to be a gym. You're supposed to be a healthy place for people to get healthy. Why would you then go burn off the calories and then fill them back in with fresh calories? This didn't make sense to me, right? But this is what Planet Fitness's kick was. And so I want to look at this scripture and think about how we approach our spiritual health. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 23, it says, "That same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. 'Teacher,' they said, 'Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died. And since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brother, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her?' Jesus replied, 'You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living.' When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching." Now, from the outset here, this may not even look like a passage that is related to being healthy at all. It has nothing to do with health. Until you look at it and you think, what Jesus is telling the Sadducees here, he's saying, you're looking at this all the wrong way. You're looking at, first of all, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't understand. They were those Jews who didn't believe in any type of resurrection. And that's another story for another day. We'll come back to that. But the larger point is, he's saying, you're concerned about whose wife this person is going to be, instead of understanding that this isn't even about who marries. It's kind of like going to Planet Fitness and being concerned about, well, whose trainer is this, and whose equipment is it, instead of understanding you came here for a totally different reason. You didn't come to get married. You weren't born to be married. You weren't born to be caught up in these little items and these little things. You're trying to trip me up with a question because you're worried about being in compliance and making sure that I don't mess up in something that I say to you, and you're missing the larger point. Kind of like when we talk about people who come to Jesus. Getting baptized is one thing, but that's just the beginning, right? There's a process. There's a whole lot more that comes with it. And what we find is, for us as followers of Christ, that oftentimes we can look in the scriptures and be so concerned about making sure that we're following each and every scripture to the letter that we forget why the scripture's there. Kind of like Planet Fitness. We forget why we're there. See, Planet Fitness is a place where they want you to be comfortable. They want you to feel good. They want to make sure that you pay every month, you know? And if we're honest about it, and this is not bashing any particular church, you know, in particular, but the fact is, churches can be that way, where it's like, you know, we're supposed to be here for the spiritual health, but we're going to give you some donuts too, as long as you keep paying your membership fees, right? And yet we have to ask ourselves, are we here for the right reasons? He tells them, you're asking the wrong question. You're thinking about this the wrong way. And until we have a healthy outlook, until we have a healthy mentality, the things of God can be difficult to understand. See, it goes deeper than even just what the Sadducees here are trying to trip Jesus up with. But even when we think about our own lives, where we think, well, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You're saying Jesus tells people all the time, forgive, you know? Well, forgiveness doesn't make sense unless what? Unless you have the mind of God. Just like if you have a choice between a pork chop and some broccoli, there you go. She said pork chop every day, right? You know, but the thing is, broccoli doesn't make sense unless you want to be healthy. Drinking water over drinking soda doesn't make sense unless you want to be healthy. And so oftentimes we have to recalibrate ourselves and think, how do I become more healthy? Now, when I think of health, now I was born in the 70s. I think we've had this conversation before. This guy is who I think of when I think of health. My mother used to watch the Richard Simmons show when I was growing up. I was a little kid. I love Richard Simmons. I love his energy. I love his little afro. I love everything about him, right? And it was so interesting because to know Richard Simmons' story, he was obese as a little kid. They said he started, he said, as early as 4 years old. This is him in a cartoon. Yeah, I knew he'd like that. But Richard Simmons, as a little kid, was obese. He was eating and overeating and overeating and overeating. His mother was what they called a fat dancer. He's from New Orleans, and so she would go and she would dance in carnivals and parades and festivals. And his father was a master of ceremonies, right? Like, he had a difficult time. By the time he was 15, he was 182 pounds, freshman in high school. Now, you might think, well, what's the big deal? Because I know, like, 182 pounds, that's not a whole lot. He was 5'5". He's a short guy. And you know the difference between somebody as tall as somebody like Harold or Steve that's 182 pounds. We might say you need to eat a little bit of something. But for somebody so short and so young to be so big. And so what happens is he launches himself into this thing where he decides he's going to become a fitness instructor. And he starts coaching people and training people. You guys are getting distracted. I'm going to turn that off. But the thing is, he was approaching it. He saw stuff like what we see with Planet Fitness. He sees these gyms that are only there for the money, or they really didn't work with the people to encourage them and build them up. And he said, no, I want to do something different. And so he became famous not only for training people and helping them with their diets, but Richard Simmons would call people up. They said he would make tens of thousands of calls in a month. And people would be so shocked and surprised. They're thinking, the owner of this guy, this gym in Beverly Hills, he's actually calling me on the phone. He's following up with me to make sure that I'm meeting my goals. They're like, why does he even care about me? They would even say that, and they'd be bawling and crying. And he'd say, because I care about everybody who wants to be healthy. Let's look at Matthew chapter 21. Starting in verse 28, he says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collector and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way to righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. Even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. You know, we see this thing where Jesus is talking about these two sons, and one says, yeah, I'm going to do this. And he didn't. And the other one says, no, I'm not going to do it. But his heart changed. He said, you know what? He got up and he did it. I know I've been there when it comes to deciding, you know, and my wife will tell you, my kids, in fact, will even tell you, there are plenty of times where I say, you know what? I just don't feel like it. I'm not going to the gym today. I'm not working out. I'm not running. I'm not going to lift weights. I'm not going to train. And then a little bit later, I decided, you know what? I got to go. I got to do it. Versus there are some people who they say they're going to go and they come up with all these plans. Like we talked about those New Year's resolutions. How I'm going to be closer to God. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to serve more. I'm going to do more. But then as time goes on, they say, no, you know what? I'd rather be comfortable. Our spiritual health begins with a decision. And we notice here where he says, John comes and he tells you this, but you didn't believe him. You didn't obey him. You didn't repent. John was constantly saying, repent. It's time. It's going to be different. We're going to be different. Everything's going to be different. 2018, everything's going to be different, right? We're not going to waste all our money on stupid stuff. We're going to be better with our finances. We're going to budget. We're going to eat better. There's all these things. And yet, what's going to keep us from going back to who we are? What's going to keep us from just settling for what we've always been? How do we get healthy? See, when we think about healthy, and this goes back to what Richard Simmons was, you know, really big for. He said, what's important is how you feel. What's important is what's going on in the inside, the stuff you can't see. Harold did a great job pointing out last week about how it's the inside of the cup that needs to be clean. You know, because there are plenty of times when you go to the doctor and you're shocked. I know I was. I walked into the doctor actually expecting him to go ahead and sign off and give me a clean bill of health. And he was like, wait a minute, but I see something. You know, your sugar levels are kind of high. Or you go in there and you're thinking, I feel great. I'm you know, everything's wonderful. And they say, no, but your cholesterol is kind of high. You know, see, what happens is internally, spiritually, we have to ask ourselves, are we healthy on the inside? Because when you're healthy, you think healthy. You make healthy choices. You have a healthy lifestyle. You know, we were talking about forgiveness. See, healthy people forgive because they know that it gets rid of that stress. It gets rid of the burdens and the weight that you carry around. Healthy people sacrifice because they know that it's important that you be willing to give up things and rid yourself of these things here on earth because they don't matter. Healthy people make decisions and choices just like in the physical world, just like you go and you see these people who are in the gym and you see these fitness gurus on TV. Spiritually, healthy people make choices and decisions and they have a thought process too. Do we have a healthy thought process? Do we decide, well, you know what? This is perfectly legal, or this is perfectly within the boundaries of what I see in the scripture, so I'm going to live this way? Or do we say, while that may be legal and while that may be, as it says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, while that may be something I can do, what is the healthy choice? What is the healthiest thing I can do for myself spiritually right now? This right here is a meme. It's talking about mental health days, right? And it was interesting because I remember a few years ago, my wife and I, we did this time. It was actually not even a few years ago. It was not quite 2 years ago. We were doing this timeshare presentation. And this guy says, hey, so your wife tells me that you preach sometimes. You're in the ministry. I said, yes. And he said, you know, you need to take more vacations. You need to do more for yourself so that you can, like, not have so much stress. And I thought, well, you're probably right. I'm still not going to give you the money. Thank you for the tickets to Disney. But the point was, and he was absolutely correct. He said the people who end up having the, he said he had a brother. He was telling me about his brother out in, I believe it was Texas, but he was saying how his brother, of all the people in the family, he said he respects him. He loves him. He said he is truly a godly man and everybody in the family respects him, but he's the most stressed out. He's the one person who is the most tense, losing all his hair, you know, everything, you know, like he's just falling apart. And when we think about, like, again, this is, depending on if you love dogs, this is a cute dog. this pug, we talk about mental health days. This is another one. Says, I called in sick to work today because I really do not want to be here. I'm the boss. You know, so often we think that if we push ourselves and we go harder and we just do more, then that means that we're doing the right thing. But is that the healthy thing to do? Not sure if I'm emotionally strong and I can handle anything, or am I a heartless psychopath? You know, there's a very fine line. Because when we think about, well, what is the healthiest thing to do? I remember somebody was giving me some really good advice and counseling on my marriage. They said, you know, yes, you should confront your wife about something that she did, but is it the healthiest choice to do it in that moment? Or is it healthier to give it a few minutes to breathe and wait? See, these are the types of choices we literally have to make all day long. Are we making the healthiest spiritual choice? And are we willing to listen to those who, like a trainer or like a coach, are trying to help us? This one. Yeah, he looks pitiful, doesn't he? A depressed person won't always show it and can even wear a smile all day, but still feels like this on the inside. The person who is spiritually active and doing things, and they're always here. They never miss a Sunday. They never miss a Wednesday. They're always praying for somebody. They're always at Bible study. They're always serving. But on the inside, spiritually, are you healthy? See, sometimes health is a matter of getting the help you need. Sometimes health is not just changing your eating, but maybe you need a colonic. Maybe you need to do a cleanse. Maybe you need to fast. Whatever it is, are you healthy on the inside? Do you make healthy choices? Matthew 11, we'll end it here. Starting in verse 25, it says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our relationship with God, our closeness and our proximity to God, how we view ourselves as it relates to God, not only does it not have to be a burden and a drudgery, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that hard all the time. But do we believe that our walk with God should be something that can be a joy, that it doesn't have to be a burden? It doesn't always have to be a bunch of negative things. You know, it's kind of like going to the gym. You know, you go into the gym and you work hard and you sweat. You go through muscle pains. You're going through intense breathing at that point when you're on that treadmill. Some of you are looking at me like, I'm not going. This doesn't apply to me. Move on. Those days are over, and that's fine. But with the analogy, that lasts for 30 minutes, an hour. What about the rest of your day? You know, we can't work out forever. It can't always be a burden, right? And in the same sense, when you think about your relationships, even with one another, is it healthy? Do you have a relationship with the person next to you that is healthy? How do you know if it's healthy? Well, for starters, you have one. For starters, you actually have one. And then moving beyond that, you're concerned. See, and I won't go too far into this, but I was telling them in Sunday school about me running down the interstate the other day, chasing this dog that wasn't even my dog. I won't go into details. Kendall told me not to tell the story. But the point is this, my response to the situation, when I see this accident and then the dog runs off, My response to the situation wasn't self-preservation or thinking about me. My response to the situation was, well, this guy's clearly going to be going through something. The least we can do is bring his dog back. That's a healthy response. Or if you see somebody who's bleeding, you know, we looked a few weeks ago at the story of the Samaritan. The Samaritan goes and cares for them, but everybody else walked on by. See, they were in compliance with the law. They were doing the right things according to the law, according to what their expectation was, and according to what people around them were going to hold them accountable to. But the spiritually healthy response was that of the Samaritan. The spiritually healthy response to so many things isn't what we're expected to do and other people are going to expect us to do. We have to go to God and constantly ask him, help me to be healthy. How do I view this thing in the most spiritually healthy way possible? How do I know if I am spiritually on the inside where I need to be? As we look forward to 2018, the goal is not just, hey, let me, you know, make more money or lose some weight, or as a church to say, well, we want to help more people find Christ. Yes, we always want to do that every day. But are we spiritually on the inside healthy? Or do we have some resentment? Do we have some hurts? Do we have some lacking when it comes to trust or when it comes to faith? What does our spiritual chart look like? When you go to the doctor and he signs off on everything and he says, okay, blood pressure good and cholesterol good. And well, you know, you took this stress test and it's not adding up. What does our spiritual chart say about us? And so as we go forward and we continue to talk about health and what it means to be healthy, I want to leave us with a few questions. Is your walk with God based more on following the rules or being in tune with the Spirit? What are you most concerned about? Because again, rules are there for a reason. You know, there's a reason why they send that car through the inspection. But are you more concerned about passing the inspection or being safe? Are you more concerned about getting the clean bill of health from the doctor so he writes it all off, or what's actually healthy on the inside? What are you concerned with going forward? Do you make healthy choices in your daily life? How do you measure what is healthy? And what is your health standard? This is very important because when we think, some people may feel like, well, it's perfectly healthy. You know, maybe you're just genetically gifted, as some people say, and you just don't have a lot of health problems. But maybe what's healthy is not just what's going to affect you, but what's affecting those around you. Like they talk about, you know, smoking and how, you know, it's the secondhand smoke that gets a lot of people. Sometimes it's our spiritual condition. It affects people secondarily. So while you may be perfectly at peace and you sleep well at night, your behavior, your lack of giving, whatever it may be, it's affecting those around you. Do you have a spiritual personal trainer or health advisor? Do you listen to their directions and advice or just the information? Do you need someone to train with you? And how will you stay focused? One of the biggest things that allowed me to be effective as a personal trainer was when I understood that the goal was not to get them to a certain point. The goal was not for me to make them into something or shape them into something that I saw. The goal was to continue to help them to continue to be focused. The goal was to help them to understand that this is going to pass. I know your arms are sore. I know your legs are sore. I know your back's hurting. But this is going to benefit you later. Do we have a person or people in our lives? And like it talked about with John, he said, John came and told you the truth, but you didn't listen to him. Do we listen to people when they're trying to help us spiritually, when they're trying to tell us ways that we can be healthier? Do we even have that relationship? Are we seeking out that spiritual spotter, that personal trainer, that helper. And finally, are you a gym rat for Jesus, or do you have clearly defined goals and dreams for your relationship with God? There's a lot of people that come to the gym, and they come to the gym like I used to see them all the time. They come to the gym, and they literally sit at the gym, and they will work out, and they're, you know, big guys, but they'll work out for a little while, and then they'll just sit around. They'll just be there, talking, sitting on the equipment, not doing anything. They're gym rats. This is their environment. This is what they love. But they're not helping anybody. They're just kind of there, you know, and they may even be able to give you some good advice if you can get it out of them, but they're not really helping anybody. This is just where they are. And we have to ask ourselves as Christians, are we just hanging out as Christians? Are we just, you know, hanging around? Or are we actually meeting goals? Are we actually dreaming for God and saying, I don't want to just exist, but I want to do something for God? I want my relationship with God to matter, not just to me, but to someone else. Are we just here? Are we just going to be here in 2018? Or are we going to help somebody else meet their goals in 2018? Do you have a goal to meet spiritually? Do you have a goal to meet? You know, it's like I said, you don't wait until the new year. There's no better time than the present. You start today. You start now. Have you started on your relationship with God? Have you started on your walk with God? Do you need help in getting started with your relationship with God? Do you maybe need help in refocusing? You know, I remember there was a period a few years back when, you know, I understood all the rules and all the machines and all the exercises, but I had gotten out of shape. I needed to get back in shape. Do you need to get back in shape spiritually? If you need that, if you want the prayers of the church for that, we ask you to come forward now as we stand and sing our song of invitation.